Technocasters Broadcasting Group positions your product or service right in front of a Spanish-speaking audience in the U.S., Canada, and Latin America. For more information regarding becoming a sponsor for this show, please contact us at ads@technocasters.com. That is ads@technocasters.com.
Technocasters es patrocinado en parte por MCC and Warren, MCC and Warren, Call Center y Mercadotecnia Aplicada. Visítenos en www.mccwarren.com.mx.
Transmitiendo simultáneamente desde los Estados Unidos y México, el mejor podcast de tecnología en español. Esto es Technocasters.
Conducido por Juan de Dios Guevara, Lorena Galán, Pedro Riverol y Raúl Mitre.
A partir de este momento, conectamos todos tus sentidos al mundo de la tecnología. Comenzamos.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo le va? Soy Juan de Dios Guevara. Sea usted bienvenido al episodio número 33 para hoy, mayo 3 del 2010. Ya es mayo, muchachos. ¡Qué barbaridad! ¡Qué rápido!
Sí, ¿no? Y además el episodio 33.
El episodio 33 como los masones, ¿no?
Es justo la edad que cumplo en una semana.
¡Wow! 33.
Así es. No sé, mira, me salió.
Claro,
no había
que
querido
no
revelarle.
Íbamos a la primaria juntos. No seas mentirosa, Ibe.
33 y sin compromiso.
Y sin compromiso.
¡Qué barbaridad! Virgen y sin compromiso.
Así es, en efecto.
Así es.
Una de las dos es mentiras, no vamos a decir cuál.
¿Cuál es, verdad? Claro. We're saying, Pamela, that this is the 33rd episode like the Masons. And, well, you know, it's very interesting because Aidea's birthday is next week and she's going to be 33.
Symmetry.
There we go, symmetry.
Exactly.
And we need to find her a boyfriend really fast. We have some people in mind, right?
We need to do some kind of a lottery or something.
Yes. We have to just say, you know what?
A giveaway.
Yes.
Hey.
No. We have, you know, an auction. It would be fine.
I think that's illegal.
No, why is it illegal?
An auction
is
illegal.
No. I mean, how much would you pay to have a date with Aide Duran?
Now that's considered a charity.
There we go.
Hey.
You just have to donate all the money somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah,
Let's do this. Pamela is actually heading a very interesting research project at her university in Ellersfield, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So, Aide, would you consider yourself actioning yourself?
That's so sad.
In pro of science.
That's the only good part.
No. I mean, you never know. You can find a very interesting astronomer or somebody who is, you know, very smart, very, very...
And you know what? So far, anything else has haven't worked. So why not take a chance, maybe?
Let me tell you something. I mean, No. Let me tell you something. If you marry an American astronomer, he can give you the green card, though. That would be fun.
Oh, come on.
No. I don't think so. But thank you. Thanks for the offer.
No. But I'm telling you. So would you consider yourself auctioning yourself in pro of science? Sí or no?
Okay. Just because it is science.
So the answer is yes then.
You know what, Juan? Maybe we can give all that money to the Galileo Telescope project or something like that.
Oh, come on. No. I mean that's nice, but Pamela needs some money for research.
Oh, okay. That's better.
Right?
We can absolutely always find some galaxies and classify them for you.
Yes. So I'm telling you. So así que bueno, las primeras, ¿qué te gusta? ¿De cuánto? I mean, how much is going to be the
condition,
minimum?
One condition, Juan. The first weird thing that you find, Pamela, please put Aide's name on it.
Yes. The Durant Star.
Oh my god!
I can dedicate the paper to her.
Oh, yes. Oh,
we're not allowed to name anything, but we can dedicate papers.
Oh my god.
Bueno, pues sea usted bienvenido al episodio 33. Como ya escuchó usted, bueno, tenemos de invitada de lujo, como siempre, súper agradable, súper nice, Pamela Gay de Astronomy Cast. ¿Cómo estás, Pamela?
Bene.
Bien, bien, bien. Good. So how's your Spanish going? I mean, you know there are some Spanish podcasts out there that teach you a word a day or so.
I know. I keep meaning to learn some, and then I keep traveling to countries where they speak languages other than Spanish, and my brain is a muddle of nothing right now.
So where were you last time?
Oh, I went to South Africa, and then I went to Chicago where they speak English, just their own variety of it, and New York where they speak yet another variety of English.
Wow.
But South Africa, listening to the Afrikaans, your brain tries to hear so many languages in it because it sounds like it should be Dutch. It should be English. It should be, but no, it's its own completely separate language that's just fascinating to listen to.
Wow. Well, there you have it. There you have it. So Pamela está de regreso con nosotros. Nos encanta. We're very happy to have her here again. And bueno, seguimos. Como siempre, le presentamos a nuestro equipo de trabajo, la señorita sexy, la señorita de la voz que cautiva nada más en escucharla. La gente la aclama, señoras y señores. Donete,
uf.
La pela, la señorita, uf, la señorita Lorena Galán. ¿Cómo estás, mi Lorena? Hola.
¿Qué onda, Juan? ¿Cómo estás?
¿Qué cosa? ¿Te abrumaste por los halagos o qué rollo?
Tienes que hacer, darle seguimiento a esa presentación, es difícil, ¿eh?
Sí, sí, bueno, por eso, pero
no,
que diga
no,
algo.
La conexión.
Está pasmada, mi Lore. ¿Ves?
Hay que rebotearla.
Bueno, en lo que mi Lore se rebotea, vamos a presentar a la señorita Aide Durán, la señorita que va a venderse en pro de la ciencia.
Ay, por Dios.
Va a donar su cuerpo a la ciencia, así
no.
Es.
Así es. Cuerpomático.
Oye, no, se escucha muy mal eso, en serio.
¿Pero por qué, hombre? Bodymatic. You pay with bodymatic.
Sí,
oye, a lo mejor,
mientras
a lo mejor
sea
hay que trabajar en el
una buena causa.
Claro, sí. Claro.
La buena causa me agrada. Lo que no me gustó es eso de donar su cuerpo a la ciencia.
Hay que trabajar en el marketing de la manera
de donate, you will auction your body for in your improved science. That's always a good thing.
Oh my God. Okay. Hola, ¿cómo estás, Juan?
El señor de la experiencia, el señor del pizarrín pequeño, el señor Raúl Mitre. ¿Cómo estás, Raulito?
¿Sabes qué? Me voy a rebotear igual que Lores si sigues con
Oye,
las presentaciones.
Por cierto, ¿ya estamos en vivo?
A punto de, en dos minutos estamos en vivo.
A punto de, bueno, para que nos escuche en vivo en, ¿qué es? www.ustream.tv
diagonal
Tecnocasters. So we're live at www.ustream.com/TV. So if so you can listen to what we say raw.
On real time.
No, but raw. I mean, no additions, no
yes.
Anything, whatever
yes,
you
absolutely
say,
correct.
It's
yes.
Out there.
Backstabber.
Le agradecemos que nos acompañe el día de hoy y vamos entrando al tema. Fíjese que el día de hoy decidimos invitar a Pamela porque tenemos tips para los astrónomos amateurs, so tips for beginning astronomers. Y entonces queremos preguntarle a la señorita Pamela Gay, how to buy a telescope.
Well, sorry, I was waiting to see if motivation to learn Spanish.
Well, okay, so let me repeat again. How to buy a telescope? Any brands? Where are the more important factors? Or what are the more important factors you should take in consideration buying a telescope?
Well, I'd actually say start with binoculars. They're cheaper, they're easier. You can just lie down in a lawn chair and explore the entire sky. But if you're sure you want a telescope, what you want to get is a type of telescope called a Dobsonian. It's basically a large tube that you steer like it's a cannon. You grab the front of it and you just pivot it up and down and rotate it around. And Dobsonian telescopes, there's many on the market. My favorite are the ones made by Orion telescopes. They have some telescope ones that you turn them on and they say, where are you? You tell them where they are. And then they help you find three or four bright objects on the sky. You tell them when you've lined up on those bright objects, and then they'll help you find anything on the sky, basically like your car system and your GPS telling you, turn left now, turn right now, go a little bit more up, go a little bit more down. Now you should be pointed at this amazing galaxy, this amazing nebula. They're wonderful scopes, and you can get an 8-inch one for a few hundred dollars, and someone normal female size can pick one of these up and carry it around.
Okay. And what are the more important factors you should take into consideration? I know that telescope, that it's for beginners, because most people have the misconception of waiting to see like some sort of a National Geographic picture,
right,
of this, of Mercury or Mars or Venus. And when they see a telescope, they see just a little spot in the sky.
Well, so with your very first telescope, you want to get something that's as easy to use as possible. We've all had a frustrating moment of some piece of technology. Sometimes it's just the VCR. You get it, you're so excited, you just spent what feels like a lot of money on it. You take it home, you take it out of your box, and you can't figure out how to use it. And so it just sits on a shelf, sits in a closet, and gathers dust. You want to buy a telescope that you know you can use. And that's why I recommend the Dobsonian telescopes. They're so easy to use that if you leave one abandoned on a sidewalk so that it's watched and not stolen, people will come up and just start figuring out how to use it, how to find the moon, how to find stars. And an 8-inch one is sufficient that you can start seeing the red spot on Jupiter. You can see the rings on Saturn. You can start seeing the largest of the galaxies with it start looking like galaxies.
Right.
So it's not like Hubble Space Telescope, but especially if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, the Tarantula Nebula looks like a tarantula.
Wow.
And so it's a sufficiently large telescope that you can start to see cool things in the sky, but it's so easy to use that anyone can use one.
I think you have a second question for Pamela.
Yes. What applications like PC, Mac, iPhone, iPad, etc. would you recommend?
Well, for a computer, there's this wonderful free software called Stellarium. It runs on Linux. It runs on Mac OS X. It runs in Windows. It'll run in anything. And it's free. Software that it has multiple languages. It has all sorts of different catalogs in it. And again, it's fairly simple to use. And it's the type of software that people have built educational materials for. So there's lesson plans out there if you're a teacher that will give you activities to do with your students. And like I said, it's free and it runs on any type of computer. And what's really cool about it is it also has different types of constellation images that you can show. So it's not always the same bland old Greek paintings in the sky. You can get some neat cartoons as well to give you things to look for when you're lying out at night. You can say, in my software I saw that's a greyhound dog. Now I can see the greyhound in the stars.
Do you have any favorite application?
Well, if so, for an iPhone or an iPad?
Yep.
So Stellarium's for a laptop. For an iPhone or an iPad, there's two different pieces of software that I have to admit, I have both of them. And sometimes I use one and sometimes I use the other. And they cost $2.99, so I feel okay recommending both. One of them's Pocket Universe. It's just nice, straightforward software with lots of educational features. It's quick to look up when the moon is doing what. It's quick to look up the different planetary orbits. It's easy to find out, okay, I'm looking at Jupiter. Which of the moons am I currently seeing through my telescope, through my binoculars? The other one I really like is Starwalk because it allows you to easily scan around the sky. So if you're trying to figure out, okay, is there a nebula right now that would look good? You can just scroll around the sky until you find something and then type it into your telescope or move your telescope in that direction. And both of them are good for both naked eye and helping you out when you're out having a star party with friends with binoculars or telescope.
That's great.
Wow, star party.
Have you guys ever seen the application called Planets for the iPhone or for the iPad?
I saw a demo.
Actually, it's very good. Very, very nice. Of course, Pamela is the expert here, but what I have seen, I like it very much. It's pretty simple to use, and I believe it's 99 cents only. So it's very good.
Yeah. Planets, it has all the information you need. It's basically a digital planet wheel, a digital planisphere. The thing that's different about it is it presents the sky just like a classic star wheel if you ask it to. So if you're used to using a planisphere star wheel, the planets will give you that perspective that you're used to, but it doesn't have as fancy a color display as the other two. I have to admit, I'm a sucker for a color display sometimes. And so StarWalk's a little bit prettier to look at, I think, but that's just a personal bias.
Okay.
And all three of these apps are also available on the iPad.
So I have an application called Go Sky Watch, and it's pretty cool to use because it uses the iPad location sensor, I guess, and it tells you what the sky looks like exactly in your location. It's easy to use. Now I don't know what a lot of the settings are. For example, I don't know what the elliptical, celestial, and horizon grid are, but you can answer that later. Pamela, because I don't have a clue what they are. I think Raul, you had a question.
Oh yes, yes.
About naked watching, or what is it?
Well, yes, related. related to the naked eye astronomy, I mean binoculars, in most of all. Is there any cool celestial events coming up soon, Pamela, that you know of?
Well, there's always different meteor showers going on. Now, unfortunately, the very best meteor showers are in August and November. So there's a little bit of waiting involved. But right now, we're starting to get to the summer sky. So if you wait late enough, it's not a special event in terms of anything flashy, but the constellation Sagittarius is starting to come up. And if you scan through Sagittarius with binoculars, some of the most amazing things can be easily seen. And just, for instance, nowhere near Sagittarius, but in the very center of Cancer is a cluster of stars that are beautiful to look at. So this is the time of year when the plane of the galaxy starts to get nicely high in the sky. And there are nebula, there are star clusters, there are beautiful systems of dark material blocking out stars, dark nebula that you can also look at as well. And just by exploring the plane of the Milky Way, going from the constellation Sagittarius, it looks kind of like a teapot, up through the summer triangle. All sorts of amazing things are waiting to be explored in the summer sky.
And what would be your tips for naked, and naked eye astronomy, not naked, because
that would be much more interesting.
It would be interesting, isn't it? So, Raul, would you see the stars naked?
Yes, I would. Yeah.
Yes, you would. You wouldn't be arrested.
Well, summer, probably in summer, not in December, but summer
bug
I would.
Spray.
Yeah.
You definitely need bug spray.
Ooh, bug spray. Yes,
that's a good point. Yes.
Lorena, yes. Would you like to see the stars naked?
I think if I knew no one was going to see me.
Yes, nobody's going to see you. Fine.
Floating out in the middle of a lake, looking up at the sky, that would be a wonderful evening.
A very quick question, Pamela. Which is better to see or more amazing, the north sky or the south sky?
I really have to say the southern sky.
I think so too.
They say it's incredible, right?
The large and small Magellanic clouds look like someone tore off part of the Milky Way and threw it to the side. And there's this dark patch that passes through the part of the disk of the Milky Way that you can see from the southern hemisphere, that as the sky rotates, you can see a llama, you can see an emu. And it's fun to just sit and in the southern sky, look at this dark nebula going across the Milky Way, these dark gas clouds, and play what do you see in the dark gas. And it was just an amazing experience getting to see the southern sky. And there's some really amazing objects down there. There's the Carina star forming region with the Eta Carina nebula in the center of it. Like I said earlier, the Tarantula nebula really looks like a tarantula. And so these are just amazing objects that we don't get to enjoy from the north of the equator. We still have our own cool stuff. It's just not the same cool stuff.
No, but I think it's cooler in the south. I really think so. I'm sorry, but
that's what I heard.
Some people. Actually, we have some people listening in Argentina. We know that, and So do you remember the what is it called? The Southern Cross?
Southern Cross, yes.
That's a very cool constellation to watch. I mean, it's amazing. It looks exactly like a cross.
Well, and here in the Northern Hemisphere, we also have the Summer Cross, or the Summer Triangle, rather, which has the Swan Cygnus in it, and that also looks like a cross. So there's crosses all through the sky. It's the amazing thing. You throw enough stars up there, you start being able to find any perfect shape you want to find among the stars. But the one thing we do have in the Northern Hemisphere is the Andromeda Galaxy. So if you want to see a stunningly beautiful galaxy, you need to go north. But you have, the Southern Cross, you have the Tarantula Nebula. I really just did not know how much like a tarantula it looked like through an amateur telescope. And I think that's going to be the thing that sadly I remember most, is seeing a spider staring back at me through the eyepiece.
So, Aide, have you ever been on a date looking at stars?
Yes.
And how was it?
It was great.
What did you do?
Well, I was on Bora Bora.
Oh,
so
my God.
The sky was just perfect. It is so great. And it's nice.
But did you see the stars? Did you see...
I saw the stars. We spent like, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half just watching the sky. And it's great. It was really, really a different sky from that place.
Now you saw the stars, literally, or
no,
just
literally?
It's just a metaphor.
You just saw.
No, literally.
I just want to ask. You know.
No, literally, and it is great. I wish you had a telescope, but.
So going back to the question, Pamela, what would be the tips for, I mean, if you want to see the things with your own eyes, with the naked eye, what would be the tips within the city and out of the city?
Well, in a city, what you want to do is get where you don't actually have any where you don't actually have any streetlights directly hitting you. So as dumb as this sounds, if you can like set up a barricade around you so that you're in the center of a cylinder and look up that way. Standing in an alley looking straight up where you don't have any streetlights would be extraordinarily dangerous, but a great place to look at the stars. It's having light shine directly in your eyes that ruins your night vision, and that takes away a lot of your ability to see stars from inside the city. Now, other ways that you can escape having lights directly in your eyes is just get up on a roof and lie down next to the wall on the roof so that you don't have the street lights coming straight in your eyes, and look up from right beside that wall. See what you can see. Stay out long enough that your pupils get as wide as they can and you can see as dark as you possibly can. It takes at least 20 minutes to get to the point that you can start to really see interesting stuff up in the stars. But from cities, you can start to notice interesting things. There are some bright stars that change brightness over time. Myra is one of them. And it's bright enough that from a city, it appears to go from being just one of the nice stars you can see to completely disappearing just over the course of a year, and then it comes back again. So you can watch variable stars. You can also learn your constellations, and planets are visible from anywhere. So you can easily, with Venus, you can actually with a small telescope start to see its phases. And with a regular telescope, you can notice next to the skyline, not a regular telescope, with just your eyes, just going outside each night, you can notice how Venus's position changes compared to the skyline, where one night it's up above one building, and the next night at the exact same time, it's a little further over, slowly tracing out a pattern that looks a lot like a snake. And so you can see this snake of Venus positions moving across the city skyline over time. It's noticing how the positions change that in some ways is one of the most amazing things you can do, and you can do that from anywhere.
And out of the city, same thing?
Well, out of the city, you start to get a lot more things that you can notice. If you get to the point that the sky is nothing but a litter of stars and clouds are dark on the sky, in cities, when you see a cloud, it's this big, often orangey, glowy blob on the sky because it's reflecting all of the light from the city. But when you get out to the country, the dark places where there are no stars, those are the places where there's clouds. And when you get out someplace that dark, you start to be able to see nebula, the dark patches in the Milky Way against the sea of bright stars in the Milky Way. And being able to see the Milky Way is something every child should do at least once, but a kid growing up in the city may not ever get to see it. And summer is the time of year to go out and see the Milky Way, the spilled stars across the sky. When you get out of the city, you also start to be able to see the one and brightest galaxy in the sky, and that's Andromeda if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. Every other object you see in the sky, every single other object except for Andromeda, is a star in our own Milky Way galaxy. But when you look at Andromeda, you're looking at light that left a galaxy so long ago that when that light left its home galaxy, humans were just starting to walk on the planet Earth. So you're looking at really ancient light with your own eyes, and you can see it. No binoculars, no telescope, just this fuzzy blob in the northern sky. Once you get somewhere dark, you also start to be able to see star clusters. Even in fairly bright cities, you can make out the seven sisters, the Pleiades. They are the same thing that the Subaru car symbol is. So if you've ever noticed on the back of a Subaru that pattern of stars, that's real. That's up near Orion. But there's other clusters near the constellation Cassiopeia. There's a double cluster. There's another cluster in the center of the constellation Cancer. If you get yourself a $10 planisphere, you can lie down and get a red flashlight. It has to be red. Our eyes are super sensitive to blue light and not sensitive to red. So if you use a red flashlight, you won't ruin your night vision. So go outside with a planisphere and just lie down. Take a sleeping bag. It's your best friend when you're outside at night in the country. Lie down. Rotate the planisphere so that what time it is lines up with the date on the outskirt of the planisphere, the star wheel. And then when you hold it above your head, point north towards north, and then the stars should line up on the wheel with what you see in the sky. And just start exploring. Start finding these clusters and amaze yourself with what you're able to see. And you can also start testing yourself. How good are your eyes? There are, in the handle of the Milky Way, a system of stars. It's two sets of two stars, four stars altogether. But someone with good eyes on a crystal clear night can split the system of four stars into two. You need a telescope to split then those two sets into the other two stars and make out all four. But it's fun to be able to do these tricks of which double stars can you resolve with your own eyes.
Yeah, Pamela, what people on Twitter would you follow?
There's a bunch of really good people out there, and who you should follow depends on what your interests most are. Some of the people I follow are Flying Jenny, who does a lot of Twittering from the Kennedy Space Center down in Florida. I like to follow Nancy Atkinson, who's Nancy A. She writes for Universe Today and posts a lot of new news that are coming up, but she also lives in Illinois, so I get to hear a little bit of random Illinois chatter. Other good people to follow out there, there's this really neat feed called Low Flying Rocks, and it tells us when asteroids come near the planet Earth. NASA has a perfectly good feed as well. And then there's also, if you just start following, you can find different people who, they may not Twitter just astronomy, but what they do Twitter that's astronomy related is really cool. There's a Mars rover driver who Twitters what it's like working for NASA, his struggles to get Spirit, the Mars exploration rover, free from the dust that it's currently stuck in. So these are some of my favorite people out there Twittering.
You know, I would follow a very nice girl called Star Strider. And well, she tweets a lot. How many tweets do you send out a day?
It depends entirely on the day. Some days, if I'm at a conference, I'll be trying to communicate everything that's going on at the conference. So it might be 30 tweets. Other days, it'll be two or three. I think I probably average around 5 tweets a day. So it's not overwhelming. There are people out there that will just overwhelm you with how much they tweet.
You know, they get up and good morning. They go to the bathroom. It's like, well, I'm in the bathroom. I'm having lunch. Wow, look at the picture of my lunch. I mean,
I try not to do that.
Like that. Yeah, you don't.
No.
Yeah.
No, I try to forward what's going on across astronomy, tweets from people you may not be following, because not all of their stuff is strictly science. And there's a lot of good people out there twittering that they aren't there to do astronomy. Like, I love to follow Uncle Bob Martin. He's a technology blogger, but he also occasionally throws in some astronomy content as well that I'll forward out.
I have a question for the Starfinder. With a planisphere, what the hell is elliptical, celestial, and horizon grid?
You have to say it with what the hell? Yes. What the hell?
I think you understand.
So there's all these different crazy grids on them, and what they are trying to communicate is, well, the elliptical, that's the path that the sun takes through the sky. And so if you watch the sun over the course of the year, it isn't actually over the Earth's equator all the time. And it probably isn't over your head at any moment in time. This is one of those myths. We all think the sun is straight overhead at noon, but it's not. It's, if you're in the northern hemisphere, it's probably south in the sky. If you're in the southern hemisphere, it's probably north in the sky. But the sun wanders. In the summer, it's in the northern summer, it's north of the equator. In the southern summer, it's south of the equator. On the equinoxes, it hangs out directly over the equator. And that elliptical line, the ecliptic line on the planisphere, that's marking exactly where the sun goes, and you can follow it, and you can see it goes through all the zodiacal constellations. So it marches through Sagittarius, for instance. That's where the center of our galaxy is also. So the sun gets to sit in the center of the galaxy once a year, which is kind of cool. The other lines, those are starting to mark out, well, where's the Earth's equator reflected in the sky? Where would the horizon show up? If you look at the map, it isn't necessarily a perfect circle. And what you're doing is you're rotating an oval over a sphere, and that oval is marking out what part of the sky you're able to see. And so we use it with the horizon grid to try and figure out where's the horizon, depending on where you are on the planet Earth, because what part of the sky you see differs. Where I live, can't quite see all of the constellation Scorpius. It just doesn't get quite high enough above the sky this time of year. But if I went further south, I'd be able to see all of it. So the horizon grid says, this is what you should be able to see from where you are on the planet Earth.
Okay.
Now, you know, some people say that it's possible. I don't know if it actually is possible. Can't you see satellites with your naked eye?
Yes, all the time.
Really? Wow. And how can we do that?
Well, so a lot of the satellites, they're high enough up that they're still reflecting sunlight after the sun has gone down for us here on Earth. So especially near sunrise and sunset, if you go out and you look up, there'll be satellites. And if you want to make sure you can see satellites, there's this fabulous website called Heavens Above. And Heavens Above will let you know, tonight, here's a list of things that you can see. Now, one of the cool things you can also do if you're on Twitter is there's this great set of Twitter feeds. For instance, there's Over Rio, there's Over Paris, Over Cardiff. And each of these Twitter feeds for different cities tweet out what's currently visible in the sky. So if you're living in Rio and you subscribe to Over Rio and the International Space Station's going to be visible, you'll get a tweet saying, hey, at this time, look up, you can see the International Space Station.
And that's for a lot of cities around the Earth, or just cities?
It's actually any city that's been requested. This has been put together by a wonderful guy by the name of Robert Simpson. He just defended his PhD last week at Cardiff University, and he's now employed at Oxford University working on the Galaxy Z project. And he's also orbiting Frog, if you read the blog or follow the Twitter feed. And Rob is this really just creative programmer. So if you email him and say, hey, I'm in this city. Would it be possible for you to create a Twitter feed? Me and my 20 friends all want to know what's up in the sky tonight. He'll probably create it for you. So I know there's Paris, there's New York, there's Amsterdam, there's Cardiff, there's Manchester, there's a whole variety of different cities already in existence from all over the planet. But he's always willing to make more.
And how do we contact him again?
You can go to his blog, which is orbitingfrog.com.
This is a child dream, and probably a child would like to know if you really want to go to an observatory. Let's say that you want to, I mean, you have your telescope, you got an amateur telescope, and you're looking up in the sky or with your binoculars or whatever, but is it possible just to go to an observatory and request to be able to see the stars? How do you do that?
Well, not every observatory allows this. A lot of observatories have visitor centers, and the visitor centers will have special smaller telescopes for public nights. But there are few observatories that still run public nights. McDonald Observatory is one of the few. They actually open up their 107-inch telescope once a month and spend a few hours after sunset doing public viewing through a 107-inch telescope. This is a telescope that was built to support the Apollo mission and make sure that the astronauts were okay on their way, and to do lunar laser ranging to make sure we knew exactly where the moon was. It's an old workhorse. It's found planets. It's still doing amazing science today. They also have another telescope at McDonald Observatory, the 82-inch telescope. It's an old 1930s telescope, some of the most amazing optics I've ever encountered. It feels like you're stepping into a different time in history when you go into this observatory. That particular telescope, they actually let amateur astronomers use for an entire night once a month. These are special observing programs. You do have to sign up well in advance, but it's available for the public at McDonald Observatory. And occasionally other observatories do open up for special events as well. So never be afraid to call up and ask or look at the websites. Looking at the websites probably makes the poor person who has to answer the phone a lot happier. All observatories are underfunded, understaffed. The people who work these visitor centers, they're doing it very much as a labor of love. So be kind to your observatory guide and they'll show you amazing things.
Nice. What other tips would you recommend, Pamela?
Find other people. All around the world, there are astronomy clubs. Every nation on the planet has an astronomy club. There's some very impressive lists of them that have been collected through an organization called Astronomers Without Borders. And they run open houses. They run star parties. And these astronomy clubs often have a collection of people who spend all their free time studying the stars with backyard telescopes. And they just want someone to share their hobby with. We all have hobbies that we know we can't talk to our friends about because we'll drive them crazy. I know I can't talk about my horse too much or people will start rolling their eyes. But these amateur astronomers, they just want to share their hobby. They want to share their telescope. They will help you figure out, once you've bought your dob and you've explored the sky and now you want to start doing astrophotography, now you start to want doing digital observing. Once you're ready for that next step, find some other astronomers to work with, to try out their equipment, to learn their techniques. Let them be your mentor. They just want to share.
Los saludos de la audiencia, mi querida Lore Bas.
Sí, tenemos por ahí un saludo que nos llegó en Facebook. Es de Nadia García. Ella dice, por cierto, aprovecho para decirte, y lo puedes poner como comentario oficial, en vez del de Donete, para Tecnocasters. Me encanta el podcast, me mantiene en contacto con las nuevas tecnologías y sobre todo el rato es ameno. Como te conozco a ti, es como si estuviéramos en el chat informático súper a gusto. Un beso a ti y un saludo a todos los demás. Y aprovecho para preguntar si saben algo del Natal de Xbox y para cuándo sale. Está súper. Cheque el YouTube.
Para fin de año parece ser. Pero ya viene el E3, ahí ya les diremos qué pasa.
Pamela, what would you like to play? Xbox, Wii, or PS3?
Nothing.
Or nothing?
I do admit to playing Lego Star Wars on the Wii.
Really?
Yes.
It's nice.
I love
it's
that
cool
one too.
Yes.
What about Rock Band?
my husband collects real guitars, I think I'd be divorced if I played Rock Band.
Really? Ok, a ver, Lore, los comentarios del Twitter.
Donete nos escribe, qué cortada la Sargento, de veras.
Sí, ya viste, Sargentito. Después de tu backstage, o sea, después de tu backstage, dice que es una cortada.
Ya sé, ya entendí por qué. Porque como al final corté los chistes a menos.
Claro.
Pero tenía que irme, ni modo.
Bueno, vas, mi Lore.
Leo Hernández nos preguntó, ¿graban hoy los Hornycasters? Bueno, hoy ando en línea.
My God, that Hornycasters nickname is getting old. We have to come up with something else. Well, but they put something already. What, they call us Tango Gangsters as well? Oh, my God. What's going on with this world?
Pornocaster.
Sí.
Yeah.
Vas, mi Lore.
Leo Hernández también nos dice, saludo desde las heladas tierras de la U of Waterloo. Ok, también Leo Hernández dice, saludo, perdón, aquí les mando caña para Do and Don't Tips for Dating Geeks 001. Si la chica que te gusta es geek.
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, most guys are geeks, but girls, geeks?
There are geek chicks out there. We're a rare and elusive breed, but we're a special find.
Do you consider yourself a geek?
I do. Right. I'm a geek chick. I admit it.
Okay. That's interesting. That's attractive. Okay, move on.
Si es geek, pídele que se vista de Mujer Maravilla y que tu primera cita sea en el Comic-Con en San Diego.
This is very interesting. So, Leo Hernández is saying if she's a geek, tell her to dress up like Wonder Woman and ask her out to Comic-Con in San Diego. That would be interesting. What's your favorite character, though, Pamela?
Oh, I'm never sure how to answer that. I've been to Dragon Con, and I love the Watchmen series, and I love the X-Men series, but picking a favorite, I just haven't succeeded in picking a favorite. I just know I like those two sets.
A Cylon, maybe.
Oh, the new Cylons are quite fabulous. I'm not sure which one I'd pick, though.
Vas, mi Lore.
Okay, y dice, tip 002, si tu chica geek tiene un arete en la lengua, tú debes usar pasta de dientes fosforescente.
Ay, qué cosa. Imagínate, que tuviera un arete en la lengua. Bueno, no
sé.
Tiene,
yo tengo uno.
Ya sé, pero como que a la hora de los besos, qué complicado, ¿no?
¿Has besado a alguien con un arete en la lengua?
La verdad, no. Lore, ¿cómo ves?
No,
lo podemos agendar en tu lista de tus.
That's a little too much information.
Oh, yeah. Bueno, pues ahí tiene usted los comentarios. 18,500 descargas a nivel mundial. Gracias por hacer de Tecnocasters el mejor podcast de tecnología en español. Hoy en español en inglés. Today we recorded in Spanglish. Y bueno, pues le invitamos a que nos contacte, obviamente, en www.tecnocasters.com para las preguntas y comentarios, insultos, lo que usted quiera. preguntas@tecnocasters.com. La línea Tecnocasters en México, 55-53-21-6363. En Estados Unidos, Canadá y Europa, código de país 1-478-227-8383. Le invitamos a que nos siga en Twitter, en www.twitter.com/Tecnocasters. Para el podcast, /Tecnocasters, /nosotros. Para la señorita Pamela Gay, you can follow her on Twitter @StarStrider. And you can also visit her blog @StarStrider.com. Y obviamente, you can listen to her podcast @AstronomyCast.com. Y lo puede bajar en iTunes, lo puede bajar en Last.fm, lo puede bajar en todas partes. You can listen and download Pamela's podcast, Astronomy Cast, everywhere in the world. And your podcast is everywhere now, right? Everywhere?
We're working on it. It's a goal.
Everywhere. Para seguir a la señorita a la señorita Galán en Lo Galán. Para seguir a la señorita Sargento Durant, la sargento que requerimos que consiga un novio próximamente. La señorita H. Durant. Para el señor del pizarrín pequeño y de la experiencia, el señor J.R. Mitre. Y evidentemente para su servidor, Guevara JD. Así que los invitamos a que nos sigan en Twitter. Evidentemente, las notas de este show estarán en www.tecnocasters.com. Y bueno, pues ya nos vamos. Así que agradecimientos y despedida. Who would you like to say hello, Pamela?
I'd like to say hello to all the wonderful folks that I got to hang out with last week at NAIF, the Northeastern Astronomical Forum.
Wow. Okay. Hello to all of them. Okay. Aide, ¿a quién quieres mandar saludar?
A todos los que nos escuchan y a Memo Lozano también.
¿Quién es Memo Lozano?
Es mi diseñador. Ayer fue el día del diseñador.
Ah, ok, ok. ¿Qué edad tiene?
Felicidades. No, pues no sé. No, no tengo ni idea, ¿eh? ¿Para qué lo quemo?
Eso, claro, claro, claro. Mi queridísima Lore, ¿a quién manda saludar?
Yo quiero mandar a saludar a Yair, a Paula, a Sergio y a Mirna y a la otra Mirna, mis amigos en Canadá.
Le invitamos este mayo 10 a que nos vuelva a escuchar el Día de la Madre en México. What's Mother's Day in the US? Do you remember, Pamela? What's Mother's Day?
Oh, not this weekend, the one afterwards, I believe.
The one afterwards.
Yes.
Pues a todas las mamases, que tengan una feliz, un feliz mayo 10, que bueno, la vamos a saludar el día que salga este próximo podcast. Y bueno, le agradecemos que nos haya acompañado el día de hoy. Soy Juan de Dios Guevara. Pásesela muy bien. Chao, chao. Bye, bye. Se me olvida. I always forget how to say goodbye in Russian. Das Vidania.
Das Vidania.
Das Vidania. Así que bueno, le agradecemos su atención. Gracias. Pórtese bien. Saludos.
Bye.
Adiós.